And what about when an adult employee misgenders you intentionally?
While he's talking, you're talking.
You just misgendered me again.
Okay.
Multiple times.
Gotcha.
Both of you have.
Sorry.
Wasn't intentional, but if you want to take it personal, that's also.
Well, she did do it intentionally twice.
You're talking to me too.
You said she and then you said he.
You're being condescending, and if you want to continue, ooh, I have full authority to escort you out the building right this moment if you want
to
play
this
that
game. This is going to get real. Really.
Would you like to continue 3 days before Christmas? I really don't mind.
Excuse I'm good. I'll just put this on.
Oh, my goodness. If you haven't seen it, you need to go look for this, because that airline employee, I think, just set the standard, rung the bell for 2024. That is how you handle how do I refer to these folks? Cultural, right? Cultural bullies, because it's culture war. Yeah, cultural bully. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez from her Southern Command in South Texas at the studios of KURV. Hope you had a good Christmas. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Yeah, that was, and I'm not going to say this radical's name, the LGBTQ plus activist. Dude's a bully. He's just an attention seeker. It's a power trip for these folks that demand that you bend a knee in front of them. You go down and kiss their boot, kiss their shoes or their pumps that they're wearing these days. You got to pronounce their gender correctly. It's a Delta Airlines employee. It's probably at the gate. I'm thinking it doesn't look like it's a ticket counter, but this guy he stood up and said, look. Because he stated facts. I mean, it's your choice. Like I tell my son, it's your choice to be offended. It's your choice to be angry. It's your choice to react after, you know, in a certain way, lash out, be violent, be a jerk. That's your choice. I know somebody else may have been a jerk, but it's in the end, it's your choice. So this airline employee, Delta Airlines, and I would hope that, first of all, I hope that he still has a job by the end of the day, because the way things go these days, this guy had a spine to him. And he wasn't going to take any lip from this LGBTQ trans activist. I don't care where you stand on pronouns. Look, it was not intentional. You get all uppity, get in my face, and get all offended. Well, that's your choice, and it's your choice to be all offended. But, you know, you want to make an issue of this. He's got TSA, the Transportation Security people, and security right behind him, ready to give him backup. I wish we had the same confidence in corporate America, because there ain't no TSA backing them up. This guy showed a spine. I don't know if Delta Airlines is going to show a spine. It remains to be seen. So stay tuned to see what happens to this Delta Airlines employee going viral on social media, standing up against this trans activist. All got all offended because it was misgendered. Enough of that. I think the overwhelming majority of Americans, we're just so sick and tired of all this mental illness, all this stupidity, all the normalization of these radicals. I hope and pray that in 2024, I hope and pray that corporate America grows a spine, and some of them go back and take a look at their all the red, all the hemorrhaging, and their books. And whether it's Bud Light and Target, which we didn't shop like for months and months and months, all these companies that advocated for all this cultural upheaval, this cultural revolution, didn't stand up when the trans activists came knocking at the door demanding that they sell this, that, and the other. Or that they promote, you know, to against what their base stands for. I hope they take a look at all the money that they hemorrhaged back in 23. I hope that they take a look at this young man at Delta Airlines at that gate counter, ticket counter, wherever he was, and they learn how to grow a spine. No more power trips. No more saying yes, accepting power trips. Capricious power trips. No more bending the knee to all these narcissists, because that's all they are. And it's his phone, right? It's his phone recording all this so he can upload to social media, you know, make himself out to be the victim, get all these hits, and probably monetize. But for the thousands of hits that he gets, probably monetizes, make a buck, quick buck. No more bending a knee to these narcissists. No more power trips. No more cowardice in the face of these cultural bullies in 2024. Demand respect. Demand civility. And in corporate America, just demand that these individuals will come calling at you and making all sorts of threats at you. Just demand that they be civil, that they show respect as well. And they show tolerance, which is the last thing that they want to show, is any tolerance toward individuals who don't believe what they believe. Hope you had a good Christmas. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. This is the Dana Show from South Texas. And yeah, we'll be talking about immigration because, you know, I'm broadcasting to you from, as I call it on my show here in South Texas, the land of 911. This is the land where you have an emergency. You know, here we're in Texas, blessed soil, USA, still in Texas, north of the Rio Grande River. We're still on blessed soil. South of the river, that's a different story. That's a different culture. That's Mexico. That's not the land of 911. It's more like 911, and both Juans work for the cartels. Or maybe one cartel dude and the other one working for the so-called local police. Around here you got reliable law enforcement, more reliable courts, more reliable prosecutors. Can't say that in some of the cities that are not prosecuting crime, but you know what? You get the gist I'm talking about. That's the reason that we see at the moment, how many thousands of individuals in a caravan rushing this way, try to cross the border illegally, and thanks to Joe Biden and friends, work the asylum system, work the asylum court, stand in line and, you know, label themselves as asylum seekers. That's why we have millions upon millions of people that are gaming the system right now. They're headed here. That's why you never hear Americans by the caravan, like long caravan of Americans crossing the border into Mexico to go live in Mexico. One of the funniest memes we see all the time when it comes to Cinco de Mayo or the 16th of September, el 16 de septiembre, the Independence Day in Mexico. One of the funniest memes. You'll see it on social media come May again for the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo, right? So it's a drinking holiday in the U.S. It's really not much of a holiday south of the border, but they'll say, Viva Mexico! Viva Mexico! It's funny how the meme says. Funny how they always say Viva Mexico, but nobody wants to viva in Mexico. And I don't mean to beat Mexico up too much because Mexico is, to some extent, a land of prosperity. Yes, they're run by the cartels. Pretty much everything's run by the cartels south of the border. But there's lots of manufacturing south of the border. It's connected to corporate America and here in the U.S. and in Canada. They've got some European outfits. Mexico's a little different because if these individuals that are coming by caravan headed north, if they truly follow the rules, international rules, that were enforced by President Donald Trump with the participation of Andrés Manuel López Obrador, AMLO, the Mexican president, if they were to apply, and if Mexico is the first country that they arrived at, which it really isn't, it's usually like the second, third, fourth, fifth country that they arrived to, then Mexico would be a providing asylum to these individuals that arrive in Mexico. But no, thanks to Joe Biden, he just lifted all that. Said, no, just send them here. Send them this way. They got this silly, this stupid little meeting between members of the Biden administration today and AMLO in Mexico City. They're just doing the kabuki dance. You know, they're just doing the jig, doing the kabuki dance, pretending to be doing something about this, pretending they don't know the reason. Of course, we all know the reason. It's the open border mindset of the Biden administration. If they wanted to stay south of the border, they could stay south of the border and get a job. In fact, Mexico, under Donald Trump, Mexico was offering some of the factory jobs of the multinational firms that set up from Europe, set up from the U.S. in the industrial north of Monterrey. They can't find enough labor to put into those factories. A few people took advantage of that. Oh, no, but they're coming to this blessed soil, the United States of America. Because here's where the real opportunity, here's where the big bucks can be made. You know, forget working, what was that line from Coming to America? Working fries and then lettuce and then an assistant manager. And then, you know, now here's where they make the big bucks in the U.S. That's why you don't see caravans of Americans going south of the border to Mexico or to Central America or to South America or anywhere else in the world. because this is the land of opportunity. And by the way, if you didn't notice in those headlines of this massive caravan that's headed this way, they're proclaiming themselves as economic migrants. They're leaving, what was it they said? They're leaving poverty behind. I feel so bad for my Border Patrol friends. And I got lots of friends down here in Border Patrol. I mean, after all, this is the Southern Command for the Dana Show. We're on the border in McAllen, Brownsville. And I'm fine down here, people. This is Boomtown USA. Like, literally, man, we got SpaceX and LNG and all those wonderful things happening here in South Texas. We got smart money coming to South Texas. New businesses, computer chip manufacturing, all those wonderful things coming to South Texas. Because they're headed to you, Chicago. They're headed to you, New York, L.A., Philly, you name it, all these sanctuary communities, they're coming to you because they know you're going to feed them. They know you're going to provide housing for them. They know you're going to provide education for them, all the education, the medical care, because, you know, you did the sign of the cross, you did the virtual signaling thing and saying, come to me. We are a sanctuary committee. And they know that's why they're headed in your direction. No caravans from the U.S., no caravans of Americans headed south of the border, headed anywhere else, because this is the land of opportunity and prosperity. And we're setting record numbers left and right. And I just feel so bad. I had a conversation early this morning. I want to share with you with Chris Cavadeta. He's one of the Border Patrol union chiefs that many times gets airtime on many of the news channels. Can you imagine? Your job is Border Patrol. Border Patrol, which... the name implies it's a law enforcement gig. Ain't no law enforcement. Border Patrol is a welcome wagon these days. Border Patrol is the reception committee set up by this Biden administration to process almost every single illegal immigrant that has crossed the border. They know and they expect to be processed, to be given a piece of paperwork, and to, in essence, get in line for a court hearing at an asylum hearing and an immigration hearing somewhere in the distant future that they likely will never go to. In the meantime, they'll fall in love, they'll have kids, grow roots legally or illegally, get a job by whatever means. And usually there is a way to get a job. After 6 months, one immigration attorney told me, after 6 months of waiting in the immigration line, you're able to apply for employment. So how many of these people are going to apply for employment? Or if they're being spoon-fed by New York, by Chicago, by all these sanctuary cities, by D.C., if they're being spoon-fed, how many will just sit around and wait to continue to be spoon-fed while the mayors in those clueless cities, those clueless leaders and mayors continue to demand Washington, D.C., continue to write them a check to continue to provide for all these folks who arrive illegally and are staying illegally and just gaming the system. In the meantime, American citizens and even veterans still sleeping on the street. Well, these folks that came in are getting nice hotels and nice places to stay and all the benefits. It's ridiculous. You know how everything's going to change in 24? Stop voting stupidly. And I'm going to connect the dots for you. Stop voting Democrat. It's that simple. And I'm not just talking about the presidential race. I'm talking about all the leaders in the lawmaking bodies, the House and the Senate. Stop voting stupidly. Stop voting Democrat. That's my national cry, my national battle cry right now. That's what needs to happen in 2024. That's the way this country will reverse course from the madness, the lunacy that we've seen under this administration, the flood of illegal immigrants that have crossed the border and are expecting to stay. We need leadership that will say no more of this. In fact, we're going to grab many of you. We're going to throw you back. That's the way it's going to work. It's 20 minutes after the hour. This is The Dana Show. I hope you had a happy Christmas and going to wish you a happy new year. You stick around. Got lots of information, lots of news for the day. You stay tuned. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
Looking for a proactive solution in a battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Before sending your child off to collect six figures in debt at the age of 18, remember to make sure that school isn't another woke hedge fund corporation. Elite universities have gone from places of excellence to places of political and social engineering. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I'm Sergio Sanchez. The Dana Show from South Texas, or Southern Command, and I started this hour. I'm talking a little bit about the crazies at Delta Airline employee standing up, growing a spine, showing Delta Airlines. This is how you grow a spine in the face of these trans bullies. Well, as I was reading that, a friend sent me a quick text message. Hey, check this out on Breitbart. The headline says it all. Justin Trudeau installing taxpayer-funded tampon dispensers. Oh, that's not putting in women's restrooms. No. Justin Trudeau is installing taxpayer-funded tampon dispensers in Canadian men's bathrooms. Because men have periods too, right? Whereas Dana, for the longest time, correctly said, if you're a dude, she refers to it as Frankenbeans. You bleeding from your Frankenbeans? Yeah, that's a medical condition. You really need to get that looked at. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Let's see what we have here. Oh, check this out. A Tesla software engineer injured after a robot attacked him on the floor of Tesla's Austin, Texas factory. This happened 2 years ago. We're barely learning about this. Witnesses said that the robot malfunctioned, pinned the engineer, pierced its metal claws into his back and arm, drew blood. He was programming software that controls the robot that would move aluminum car parts back during the 2021 attack. See, we've been warned numerous times. We were developing, Elon Musk and others developing robot technology and all this AI crazy stuff. We've been warned. They want to draw blood, all of our blood. Japan's lunar lander is now orbiting the moon. The Japanese Aerospace Exploratory Agency saying its Moon Sniper successfully entered lunar orbit this week. The mission will put Japan's first robot vehicle on the lunar surface. The spacecraft currently circling the moon about 6.5 hours. That's what we need to send the robot. Send them all to the moon.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Well, I think most Americans realize that something stinks here. Most Americans realize that we've provided bank statements as hard evidence, statements that show the Bidens have received well over $20 million from our enemies around the world, and they can't answer a simple question. What did you do to receive the money?
All the Bidens, whether it's a niece, the uncle, the brother, all bunch of Bidens, millionaires thanks to all this corruption. My wish for 2024 is that Jim, James Comer, all these other congressional investigators, these representatives who become investigators and their staff, I hope they're properly lining up all this information to be easily consumed by the American public. Do not depend whatsoever. Do not expect the American press, especially the dinosaur networks. Because, hey, you're fighting against their team. You're going against the grain. You're going against their mindset. You're going against their representatives, their Democrat leaders, funders. CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, of course, the lefties over, the crazy lefties over at MSNBC, all these crazies, New York Times, you know, the standard players, don't expect any of them to do you any favors, cover this wall to wall, do special investigative pieces. Even if you offered them, I think there was a cut before Christmas, somebody said, look, I'm giving you an opportunity, all this information, giving you an opportunity, talking about the press, to become the next, Woodward Bernstein, the next great investigative reporters, and become, you know, some of the legends in investigative journalism. They're not interested in that. They just want their amigos. They want their friends. They want their team to win, the Democrats. And like, as I said before the break, I hope and pray that in 2024, a lot of Americans wake up and stop voting stupidly. Stop voting for any and all Democrats. Because any individual beholden to the local party, the state party, which by extension to the national party and their convention, all of them are apologists for the national agenda, which is destroying our nation with its immigration policy that is poisoning our nation, period. We're bringing in an unsustainable number of individuals that will be dependents on the government, and the individuals have no skills to offer other than their hands and their feet, and which is good for those individuals, forgive me for saying this, but for those individuals who actually want to work, and they're going to have to work illegally as slaves, many of them working below minimum wage, which is super low now compared to what it was before, you know, 20% inflation under Joe Biden. They're gaming the system. This is not the way to do it. There's an orderly process for immigration. I am not anti-immigration. Republicans are not anti-immigration. Republicans need to mention that they need to go on the offense and explain to the American voters that they are pro-legal immigration, anti-illegal immigration. And the American press, all these networks, all these writers, the Associated Press, all these people, when they write up news copy, they never insert the word illegal to the word immigration. This Republican lawmaker, this senator, put Trump with his anti-immigration rhetoric. No, anti-illegal immigration rhetoric. Name the politician. The GOP, each candidate, they will have to do their own heavy lifting and communicating by social media and advertising to their base, to their electorate, to the folks that they represent in their district. And Jim Comer, James, all the representatives doing the investigation on the $20 million that the Biden family received from our enemies from China and other places, you're going to have to connect the dots, and you're going to have to go on off. You're going to have to spend some of your campaign cash to communicate this to the American people, because the Democrats will try to flip this just like they did in the last election. Russian disinformation, all these lies and Russian disinformation. We got you. We got you. And here it is. Just do the comparison of audio and video cuts. It's real easy. In the meantime, you got fools like Mayor Brandon, let's go Brandon Johnson up in Chicago. Well, this was in the story last week, right before we took that Christmas break. 5-year-old kid dies in one of those migrant shelters they set up in Chicago. It's cut six. Steve, cut six.
Well, what we've seen is, again, repeatedly, is that when the migrants are arriving in the city of Chicago, because, or New York or anywhere else for that matter, there's not a real coordinated approach to make sure that migrants and those who are seeking asylum are getting the services that they need at the border. There's no screening.
Sorry, Mayor, because you're the mayor of Chicago, I apologize for jumping in, but because you're the mayor of Chicago, I'm asking you about what's happening in the shelters in your city. I hear your point you're making about your frustration with Governor Abbott and with the federal government, the Biden administration. But what about what's happening in these shelters right now?
Well, it's all connected. It's not an isolated dynamic. And what I've said repeatedly, the lack of coordination.
Whose fault is it?
I'll get to it, I promise. The lack of coordination is causing the amount of turmoil and stress.
Whose fault is it?
We're talking about individuals who have suffered miles, thousands of miles of treachery, quite frankly, to get to the border. And so what we've seen, and I've expressed this here, is that lack of coordination has caused tremendous stress.
Yeah, that is, let's go Brandon Johnson, mayor up in Chicago. Don't expect anything to change in Chicago, in Washington, D.C., in New York City, in Philly, in L.A., all these Democrat-run towns. Don't expect anything to change unless you change leadership and stop voting for all these local Democrats who are simply apologists. They never point a finger of blame back at the White House and the policies that promote all this, the tsunami, the flood of illegal immigrants right now. Wake up, America. I hope you do in 2024. We have a country to save. Here's a conversation I had with my friend Chris Cavanetta from Border Patrol Union. Well, at the border, we're setting records left and right of the kind that we don't want for our nation, the tsunami of illegal immigrants and of late. And Chris, I hate to refer to Border Patrol in this fashion, but under this administration, you guys are the welcome wagon for the tens and tens of thousands of illegals that we get every 2-3 weeks. I just feel so bad for you right now. Chris Cabrera is with the Border Patrol Union and a regular guest and a dear friend of mine. I got to start with morale. What does it feel like on the front lines of Border Patrol? Because I know you're still working and you got all your colleagues and you guys are processing, just doing paperwork and having to release all these people by the tens of thousands into the country. And the Democrats that are asking for billions of dollars more, they're not asking to secure the border. They want billions of dollars more to make it easier for the reception committee to process and release into the country. Tell me about morale, man. What's it like? What do the guys tell you on the front lines?
Well, you know, Sergio, it's rough. It's rough on the agents out there. It's rough on our guys. That morale is in the toilet. I mean, we've seen it low, but it's like these the numbers coming in are steadily rising and morale is steadily declining. You know, we don't mind work. You know, we enjoy coming and doing this job every day. We're just not doing the job we signed up for, you know, and that's the unfortunate part. Our guys are very passionate about what they do, very patriotic, and unfortunately this administration is taking this country in the wrong direction.
In an ideal situation, Chris, where, let's say, under a different administration, they would reverse course, turn the truck around, how long would it take for on the frontline crew to reverse course, to start detaining instead of processing and releasing, hold by Lord knows how many thousands of individuals? How do you see something like that playing? Because it almost seems like it's an impossible mission now in trying to patrol the border.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the way people see it, and I don't see it that way myself. If we started doing mandatory detention, mandatory removals, you know, the problem there is, where is the camp space? Where are we gonna detain people? And you know that will be an issue, but it's not going to be as big of an issue as people would imagine. For instance, once the word gets out that we're returning everyone home, once we're detaining everybody and sending everybody home, it shuts itself down. The system, the way it's going now, it completely reverses itself. Because right now what it's based on is word of mouth advertising. If you come, you'll get in. And that's what's happening. So more people are coming. But if the message changes and we start sending people home, well, that word gets out and people stop coming. So yeah, it'll be a rough couple of weeks. But after that, it'll be smooth sailing.
And they do have some planes sending some individuals home, right?
Yeah, you know that's their goal, but it's not nearly enough. And
like, who's being sent back, Chris? I'm sorry, Chris Cabretta with Border Patrol Union. Who's being sent back?
You know, unfortunately, I think most of the ones that are getting sent back are Mexican nationals. You know, I think that's the only ones getting sent back, or some people with some type of criminal history in the United States or prior removals in the United States. Those folks are going back, but pretty much everyone else, they're allowed to stay.
So,
and they know that, so that's why they're coming.
Yeah. So CBP was revealing to Fox a couple days back, that about 750,000, like 750,000 illegals crossed. That CBP encountered all those people, 750,000 people almost, and since October, since the beginning of October. That's like one massive American city crossing illegally and being allowed to stay in the country. For the most part, almost everybody being allowed to stay in the country, gaming, working the asylum process, and with, what is it, like 11 months left in this present administration, and God forbid Americans vote stupidly again next November and vote the next Democrat in, because I don't think it's going to be Joe Biden, even if he's sitting there. Oh, my goodness. Do you expect this tsunami to get even worse, the tidal wave to be even larger over the next several months? Because I'm guessing people who want to get in, cross illegally, jump the line, they're going to get here as quickly as possible over the next year, just in case, you know, just in case things change and Donald Trump gets back in office.
Yeah, you know, sir, that's how we've always seen it traditionally. Whenever there's going to be a change in administration or a potential change in administration, people start moving this way because they don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So it's let's go ahead and get in there while we know it's good. And that way, if things change and they close the doors, well, we're already in. So, you know, regardless of what the whatever's happening right now, usually changes, political changes, cause a little bit of a growth spurt for us as far as traffic coming in. So obviously we have enough problems to begin with, and any increases is devastating to the infrastructure we have set up here. And you know, the Rio Grande Valley luckily isn't center stage anymore like it has been in the past, what, 8-10 years. So Tucson, Del Rio, San Diego, they're taking the brunt of it. Yeah. But we're still seeing a good hit, though. I mean, and the sad thing is you know, we're getting hit with huge numbers. They're just getting hit with even larger numbers, and it's getting worse. And, you know, better than bad is not necessarily good. And, you know, even though we're doing better than some of the others, we're still not in the clear.
Okay. Where are they coming from? Chris Gavetta with Border Patrol Union is my guess. Where are they coming from, some of these groups?
You know, they're coming from all over. I think our main ones right now are Venezuelan. You know, obviously we're going to see the Hondurans, Guatemalans, El Salvador. But we see a lot of Venezuelans, a lot of Cubans, a ton of Cubans, Chinese as well. And then we see some of the more exotics like Moldova and Romania and, you know, Turkey and Syria, that kind of stuff. So it's not just, you know, Central and South American populations that are coming.
And of these more exotic places that you mentioned, even folks coming in from China or coming in from, I don't know, Eastern Europe, are they turning themselves in to CBP and to Border Patrol to be processed, be let in and try to claim asylum, or are they the ones that are being caught and you got them on radar being caught by Border Patrol?
No, those are the ones, you know, they're turning themselves into, you know, the word's out. You know, this is it's like a Black Friday sale in the United States of America, and everybody's trying to bust down that door to get in.
How about kids coming in on their own? What's the latest on that? The numbers,
you know,
still bad?
It still happens. It's not as bad as it has been. But it still does happen, and it's sad to see, even if the numbers are dropping, just seeing one or two kids coming in alone is just a terrible thing to see. You know, that's got to be a rough journey all the way. You know, there's no nice way to cut that one. And, you know, but it still happens. It's not as bad as it was, but unfortunately, it's still taking place.
Be safe out there, Chris, and...
Righty, brother. Okay. Well, I appreciate you having me.
Hoping for a safe 2024. Chris Cabrera with the Border Patrol Union. It's some of the statistics that on a regular basis here in deep South Texas, the real South Texas, here at Newstalk 710 KURV in South Texas, we get to speak with Border Patrol on a regular basis and flesh out some stats. In previous years, before it was the Biden border mess, especially now that it's just completely crazy. It's just open to everyone, everybody crossing and staying. Stash houses and kids crossing on their own, semi-trucks full of illegal immigrants, and, you know, the doggies at the checkpoints, you know, 60 miles north of McAllen would find these trucks. Those numbers are down. They took a nosedive. Why? Because under Joe Biden, everybody can cross, even illegally. Pretty much everybody can stay and game the asylum system. As I told you before, amigo, stop voting stupidly. And let me connect the dots. Stop voting Democrat. Don't do that in 2024. Even the representatives. Send them all home. We need a change. We need leadership. We need America First mindset in Washington, in my humble opinion. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Middle East, a powder keg, and with shipping, whether it's petroleum or just whatever goods. I was blown away. I had a conversation with Tim Snyder. He's an economist with MatadorEconomics.com. I'll share that conversation coming up on The Dana Show. Well, by the way, I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash here in the final few days of 2023, hoping for better things in 2024. Lord willing, Dana should be back with us next week, some of the first few days of 2024. I was blown away to find out how much of the world's petroleum goes through the Straits of Hormuz. And, of course, these areas under threat, under fire, literally, all these big shipping container companies and petroleum companies shipping all that energy constantly under fire. Those fast boats, those speed boats left and right, shooting missiles at these cargo container ships. We'll find out next hour how much of the world's energy crosses through there. We're just one oil tanker away from blowing up sky high and sending the price of petroleum through the roof. And if you think gas is expensive now, you just wait until something like that happens. And God forbid. I just think we need a lot more security in that part of the world. I hope you had a good Christmas, a happy Christmas. It's not over yet, people. Some of y'all were sticking to, we need to, you guys are like the big box stores. You already think about Valentine's, right? Already, because they're like, I kid you not, I was at a big box store. Okay, I'll say it's Walmart, because I don't shop at Target. I don't shop at Target. It was Walmart. It was Christmas Eve. They had aisles and aisles of Valentine stuff already. Look, the 12 days of Christmas starts at Christmas Day. We're not over till like January 7th or 8th. I think January 7th is 12 days from now till then, right? So don't take everything down. Still keep celebrating to the day of Epiphany. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
We have seen some great data this week that showed that consumer sentiment is up 14% this month, which is the largest jump that we have seen in over a decade. And what that means is that people are spending money, right? Whether it is on toys and appliances that they need for themselves or for the holidays. And so that is important, critically important. And I think the second piece, too, is that as families are traveling across the country, going home, going back to see the families for the holidays, we have seen gas prices at under $3 at the pump per gallon in 27 states. So this is the work that the president has done. It's incredibly important.
No, it's not.
14 million jobs created.
KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash. A couple of days here as we close out 2023. Lord willing, Dana should be back with us early next week at the beginning of 2024. Hope and praying, wishing for better days. Of course, we've got one more year, one more full year, and a little bit of change with the present a clan of clowns that we have running this nation. Karine Jean-Pierre expressing the truth, for the exception of the whole, Joe Biden did this. No. Now, I think you would understand, and most Americans, I think you, I know, with my family, friends and family, when it comes to Christmas, Christmas is special. Christmas is sacred. Christmas, it's an escape. It's a chance to, chance to hopefully be quiet and reflect. But we're just desperate, especially after hard times, businesses having trouble still to this day, many of them having trouble finding good employees. And I'm going to try to address that in a little bit. I made a new friend who's a business consultant and going to share that conversation with you on how to avoid the lazy girls, the lazy boys that are in the workplace. We had companies that post-COVID to this day are still having trouble finding enough people to fill those positions. We might be a generational thing, might be Gen Xers, maybe baby boomers as grandpa, grandma, and Gen Xers as mom and dad. Maybe we did a poor job in rearing and bringing up the millennials, and more importantly, the Gen Z, the new workers out there. And some high-tech, skilled labor, important labor, even in the service jobs, we're having trouble. We can't find We've always had trouble finding enough nurses. It's worse now than ever before because we've got all the boomers. We can't find enough truckers out there. We can't find enough plumbers. We can't find electricians, you name it. All these technical skills, all these trades. We've done a very poor job of focusing on all those skill sets. And now we're having, you know, from factory levels, from assembly lines to distribution, we're having trouble filling those positions. And that's another issue to address down the line. But despite all the troubles, businesses, small business, all size business, having trouble filling positions, inflation right now, north of 20%, anywhere between 20-25%, depending on what you're looking at, compared to 2 years ago. It's awful. Bidenomics sucks. We had no leadership at the White House addressing, recognizing the forces, negative forces at play, number one. And thanks to Democrats and Republican representatives. There's one of the, you know, I love Donald Trump. You know me. He's not perfect. COVID was just we made as a nation, as a leadership up in Washington, D.C., they made a lot of mistakes because we went into uncharted territory and to make, you know, on the run, had to make a lot of bad decisions. And among them was shutting everything down. You shut everything down. You got to send paychecks to everybody. You got to saddle our great grandkids and great great grandkids to the tune of trillions of dollars. All these checks that went out to everybody. All this waste stacked upon waste. It was disgusting. Still is disgusting. We're still working through that. Some of these spending measures, these multi-trillion dollar spending measures, they're still being doled out. They're being sent out on a quarterly basis, monthly basis, yearly basis to different entities. So the money supply exploded. You got too much money, too many pockets full of cash, not enough supply because the factories are shut down. It's common sense, man. If there is no supply, if there's no merchandise on the shelf, you got money in your pocket, whatever inventory is left is going to skyrocket in price. 20% inflation ran out compared to 2 years ago. That's why we have that problem, and people just don't feel it. But after a year of getting our butts kicked, going to the store and buying expensive stuff, the grocery store or the big box store, whatever it is that we were purchasing, whether it's materials to build homes or whatever it was, appliances, after getting our butts kicked, despite the fact that many of us had less money now, well, I'm sorry, pretty much all of us had less money now because, yeah, whatever it is that you make, let's say, and I know I'm not talking to all of you when I say, let's say a six-figure salary, a cool $100,000. Yeah, let's just round it up. I know that might seem rich to you, but a six-figure salary. Yeah, your $100,000 today is only worth like $75,000 to $80,000. That's you just poof, thanks to mismanagement of the economy under Joe Biden and his minions, whoever's pulling the strings behind him. Because of that mismanagement, you know, your money's 20% weaker, 25% weaker. In some cases, depending on what you're buying, maybe even 30% weaker than it was 2 years ago. And people know it. People feel it. But despite getting our butts kicked, we just want to escape. It's Christmas. That's what it is. KGP bragging about all the great data. Yeah, people out shopping, spending more money. In fact, here was the report. MasterCard said that Americans spent more during the holiday than they did last year, despite some concerns that they might cut back because of inflation. Just a few weeks back, in the end, MasterCard said numbers show that retail sales were up 3.1% over last year. And if I could just pause real quick, 3.1, what's the inflation rate, kids? You guys are paying attention to news radio, talk radio all the time. What's the inflation rate? 3.7% at last check, year to year. So if sales went up 3.1%, they still did not meet the inflation number of 3.7%. So if 3.1 is less than 3.7, we're still in the red. We didn't spend more than last year. We spent more because of inflation compared to last year. But I heard no pushback. No pushback from the press corps on this. The numbers, they're basic. They're right in front of you. So other better numbers. Online sales. Now, that number was 6.3%, but more people are purchasing online versus the traditional brick and mortar. So that's not a number that you can compare, put next to inflation. It's just people are spending more online. That's what it is. And I know that some friends at certain institutions and businesses and Chamber of Commerce types might be upset with me. But when it came to traditional brick and mortar, and this is just anecdotal on my part, but man, I was all over the place in my community. And around here, we have the benefit of having, we call them, the term around here is fresitas, which is strawberries. Strawberries tell you how, you know, penny loafer types, aloof, by Mexican standards, rich, you know, industrial north of Mexico, they come and shop in McAllen. They come and shop in Brownsville. They leave from Monterrey, Mexico, the industrial north of Mexico. We got those shoppers over here, too. And those people, I don't know where they were. The big box stores, the ones that I frequent, except for Target, because thanks to that little satanic merchandise and the whole nip and tuck thing, the underwear and the swimsuits. No, thank you. I stopped back in May, I think it was. But the big box stores I did see, from electronics to other familiar big box names, I looked at the parking lot. Those places used to be full. Even the real big Purdy Mall. But the national owner of the mall here, for example, here in my market, McAllen, Texas, where all the Mexican, you know, the strawberries, the aloof types, the rich from Mexico come and shop. They, I noticed the parking lot roughly, just my guess, about 20% less full, which would be in line with the 20% inflation. This is just anecdotal on my part, but man, I remember, and I know it might be unfair for me to say too much about this because I know because of COVID, many of these stores, all these shops and big box stores and the malls and the brick and mortar place, they were all forced to shut down by local county governments, being influenced by the national, you know, Dr. Fauci and all these people, you know, shut down for 2 weeks, you know, stop the spread, all this stupidity that just lingered for another year and a half, all this economic pain and the trillions of dollars that we settled on our grandchildren to pay for everybody's paycheck and the loss of business and all the corruption that came with it, all the stolen money, which is nothing but fake money, either way. I didn't notice. Just anecdotally, at good, established brick-and-mortar shopping areas, I did notice a little bit less traffic. And I'm thinking part of that is people shopping more online. Online sales up over 6%, 6.3%. And the brick-and-mortar stores rose about 2%. So I think the trend is going online. Overall, 3.7% growth. I'm sorry. Overall, 3.1% growth. Inflation, 3.7% year to year. We're in the red, people. That's, I don't know what numbers she's talking about. Oh, and by the way, the man of the people, who many of y'all voted for, thinking, well, we need to bring integrity back to the White House. We need to bring, you know, decency back into the White House, not knowing the cultural upheaval you were voting for, all these crazy trans activists doing interviews with Joe Biden at the White Hall, this embarrassment on the part of the White House. You wanted to bring decency and morality, whatever you call it, back. The man of the people who has, you know, what is it, $20+ million, he and all the other Bidens, to celebrate the new year. Guess where Joe Biden's going to be celebrating the new year? Where are you celebrating the new year? This is my first question to you. Where are you celebrating? Going to be, now that you swiped the credit card a little too much and you just wanted to escape, you just want to feel good and give someone you love, your friends and family, something nice and see the joy and the smile on their face and just escape for one morning or maybe one night if you open your Christmas gifts early. You just want to escape and feel joy and camaraderie and happiness and warmth and love and share even though you put it on your credit card. God help you. Oh, we're in trouble. We're deep in the red when it comes to credit card debt. You know that number from a few days back, $1 trillion+ in debt. Got even worse. I can't wait to hear from MasterCard, all these other credit card people, how far north of a trillion we are, several trillions of dollars we are when it comes to credit card debt. And so you guys swiping that card to feel that love, feel that warmth, feel that joy, feel that Christmas escape, and then find out on the 26th on the following morning, yesterday, oh, man, now I got to pay for all this. Got to work overtime to pay for all this. The man who Polly would say, feels your pain, kind of like Bill Clinton. Joe Biden will be ringing in the new year. You can't afford to go somewhere fancy, but you topped out your credit card. But Joe Biden will be ringing in the new year from the U.S. Virgin Islands, the man of the people. Leaving the White House, the president, and Joe Biden, Dr. Joe Biden, scheduled to arrive in St. Croix. Who's traveling with him? I don't know. They haven't said that. So Joe Biden plans to be back in Washington after the new year. So that's a nice long vacation. The president has taken more vacation time than any other president. You probably stacked vacation time that this dude, Joe Biden, has taken during his first 3 years in office. You probably start stacking several presidents, more than several presidents combined. Joe Biden taking vacation, taking another long vacation to the U.S. Virgin Islands to ring in the new year. Because after all, he and his family have more than $20 million brought in from some from America's enemies, from China, for peddling influence. Yeah, that's all this corruption that is obvious to everyone. And I do hope and pray, like I said, James Comer, all the Klan, you guys need to connect the dots for the American people because the press will not do this. Oh, and the $20 million, I'm sure they're still safe in the bank, by the way. I don't think that Joe Biden and company and Secret Service and whoever else is going with the staff, I don't think they'll be paying it out of their pocket. Maybe the family, maybe his brother, or maybe his niece, or who, or the other Bidens, maybe they'll pay out of pocket, maybe. Or maybe they'll just save money, go on the same flight with Joe Biden down to St. Croix. I don't know. And put it on the U.S. taxpayer tab. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, hoping and praying for wonderful things for you in 2024. You want to say hi online? It's at Sergio Talk on Twitter. The email Sergio@KURV.com. Happy New Year, friends. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. This is The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Stick around for a conversation on how to hire smarter for managers, for business owners. Got a 2024 wish for you, hiring smarter in 2024. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show from South Texas. Let's see some of the other headlines of the morning. Sending out congrats to friends just next door over at SpaceX. SpaceX in Brownsville, Texas, tip of Texas. So they made the news, end of an era for one of SpaceX rocket boosters. The company said that its Falcon 9 booster made its final flight on the Florida coast, sent another batch of Starlink internet satellites to low Earth orbit. High seas forced the equipment to fall over on its side during transport back to Cape Canaveral. So it's the end of an era. And dozens and dozens of flights for that booster rocket. That's how Elon Musk does it. You can save a lot of money, millions of dollars, by using the booster rockets over and over again. And see what else is here. Man, you can bet on anything. I don't know. I guess you call it a bookie in Vegas or something like this. In New Jersey, some guy won $500,000 for simply predicting the individuals that would score all the touchdowns in week 16 of the NFL. Travis Duffner from New Jersey correctly picked 14 players who would all score a touchdown during week 16. You want to know what the odds of this? He put $5 on the table and walked away with $500,000 on this. That's crazy. And up in Detroit, good thing the Lions are having a good season. Man, talk about firing no cylinders. The Pistons have set an NBA single season record, 27 straight games that they lose. I'm Sergio Sanchez, reporting to you from South Texas. This is The Dana Show.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
These cities deserve better. And I'm not only talking about New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, El Paso, Brownsville, all of these cities, Houston. You know, cities should not be handling national problems. And so I don't have the real understanding of, I'm hoping that our national leaders understand that it come a real immigration reform, a decompression strategy, pick up the price tag of this issue.
Yeah. By present standards, Mayor Eric Adams, America's mayor, I think this dude is the poster child of incompetent city hall administrations and all these deep blue cities nationwide. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. You want to say hi online, use the Twitter X thing, at Sergio Talk. Yeah, he said, Mayor Eric Adams said that citizens deserve better. Except, you know, we shouldn't be spending on all these illegal immigrants. He didn't say illegal immigrants. They call them asylum seekers. Because that's a play on words that Joe Biden and his minions, including Alex Mayorkas, who's in Mexico City with other top chiefs. I think Tony Blinken. I don't know. They're doing some meeting in Mexico City. You know, do the kabuki dance, like pretending that they're doing something about getting to the bottom of the problem. Yeah, go back to the White House and look at your boss, Joe Biden. He, get to the bottom, he is the problem. Joe Biden is. His mindset, all the people pulling the strings behind him, this open border mindset. American citizens in major American cities, like the ones that he mentioned, he even mentioned here down in South Texas, Brownsville. I make no apologies for what I said before. And I know because of tradition, because, you know, for you, it's part of maybe your identity, politically speaking. I know that some of y'all who run as Democrat, you run as Democrat out of sheer necessity. There's some places like here in Texas, the parties don't put the labels next to City Hall. And they do here. I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods, but here in Texas, the party labels used to start. I'm wondering if maybe that's going to be lifted. But when it comes to party primaries, see, that's where it's defined. It's in the primaries. The D's go in one direction, the R's go in another direction, and it's county government, and then the courts and the state representatives. That's where we start D and R. City Hall is different. Some person might woo and stick out his hand, her hand, to get a bunch of money from established Democrats in the area or Republicans. But if you proudly carry a D next to you, I don't know how you do that and still try to convince me that you believe in America, that you believe in, without saying it in so many words, you believe in an America first mindset, protecting our communities, protecting our schools, protecting our budgets. Now, Eric Adams, he's an unapologetic Democrat. And so are so many of these mayors nationwide, unapologetic Democrats. As I've told you before, friend, this is not your granddaddy's. This is not your daddy's Democrat Party. America is the last on their list. It's not America first. It's America last. We need to get back to protecting ourselves, protecting our nation, protecting our community, protecting our homeless, protecting our veterans. Everything is so skewed. So everything is backwards. Everything is sideways, always, with this modern incarnation of the Democrat Party. Now, when Mayor Eric Adams said that Americans deserve better, I would argue not the ones in New York, not the ones in Chicago, not the ones in D.C., Philly, L.A., all these places, even he mentioned Houston. And I know, despite the fact that at City Hall there's no DNR, it used to be a state representative, a Democrat state representative that ran the buses, ran the streets in Houston. A Democrat state representative. That you bring that mindset, apologist mindset, and no accountability, taking no blame, blaming the top chief, Joe Biden, for the immigration mess that we face right now. Americans deserve better? Not really. Not if they voted these Democrats to City Hall, to state government, and all these state governments and city halls in big cities, like the top 10 American cities, for the exception of one, I forget his name, up in Dallas, the turncoat who went from blue to red, the mayor of Dallas, I'll find his name here in my stack here, he declared himself a Republican because he can't stand what's taking place. Well, all these Democrat leaders in top 10 American cities, he's like the only, I think he's the only Republican in the top 10 American cities is the one from Dallas. And that's because he switched. He can't stand anymore what's taking place when it comes to immigration policies and lack of responsibility when it comes to budgets and spending and overspending. Americans deserve better. Yeah, that's a good political phrase and platitude. No, they don't. You deserve the government that you have. And in 2024, when we have an election coming up, a big-time election, all of us remember, friends, you're working hard for a living to pay your taxes. You're working hard for a living to try to amass something, give it to your kids. The leadership, don't be fooled by the American press that does no coverage of the important issues in your life. The leadership that exists right now at top American cities and state government is not working in your best interest unless they say it in these words, America first. First is our country, our state, our city, our community, our jobs, our manufacturing, and so on and so forth. Unless they say that, no, you need to turn away. We need to vote. We need to stop voting stupidly starting in 2024. And it starts with the primaries, where you go, where you choose to go vote, either D or R. And don't do the D. Got to show them a lesson, because if we keep sending these congressional representatives every 2 years up for re-election, congressional representatives, state representatives, same thing, every 2 years. Show them a lesson. Say, no, we do not accept your mindset. You need to think of us first, the taxpayer, the ones who are paying all these bills. Anyway, off the soapbox, and let's talk about energy now. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas. Let me share with you a conversation about gas prices and the Middle East. That's a powder keg right now when it comes to blowing up all that oil. Go ahead, Steve. Let's talk about your gas pump from MatadorEconomics.com. My buddy, Tim Snyder. How was your Christmas, bud?
It was nice. It was real quiet, and I will tell you that was very much enjoyable.
Yeah, I like quiet. I really, really like quiet. Okay, so let's talk about the price of late. Seems like it's going up at the pump. What's going on?
Well, you know, part of this is seasonal, and we should have expected this. And I've been riding on this on my daily energy brief that I write on a daily basis, but the other thing that we have to look at is the fact that we've got increasing tensions in the Middle East, especially out of the Red Sea. And for some reason, markets like to be on this bullish rant, and they're focusing way too much on the interest rates and all those kinds of things, and not looking at the increasing risk that's coming out of from the Houthi rebels and the Somali pirates that are attacking shipping in the Red Sea.
Do you happen to know, percentage-wise, how much of the world's energy comes through those straits?
About 36% of the world's energy goes through that strait.
Wow. Okay. Begs the question, then.
Yes, sir.
Are we a bit behind the curve? Should we send more, I don't know, more carrier groups? Europeans sending some of their naval forces out there to escort every single ship going through there, making sure to blow up every small ship and gunboat that's around there trying to attack some of these cargo ships.
You know, it's an interesting conundrum that we're dealing with, because the markets have, and you'll hear me say this throughout 2024, the markets have ADD. Their problem is they don't want to have to deal with it anymore. And so Maersk and CNMA, big shippers, are already making plans to reroute back through the Red Sea, hoping that the United States is going to come and protect them from Iran, who's giving ballistic missiles and other armaments to the Houthis and the Somalis, and that they attacked another ship just overnight. And so it just baffles me beyond belief. Not enough is being done, and we're not paying enough attention to this. It reminds me of the old saying, how do you boil a frog?
Yeah, just, well.
And the answer is very slowly turn up the heat.
Yeah, I understand. I find it perplexing if that much of the world's energy runs through that narrow strait, and we don't have enough warships that have the capacity to take out any small vessel, fast vessel, even from a distance, blow them out of the water. Just smoke signal. The fact that you come at our ships, you come at any international, any merchant ships, any oil tankers, you're going to become fish food. We'll make sure that you'll become fish food. Announce it loud and clear. Yeah. I don't see why that's not happening right now.
Well, the Biden administration stopped short of doing just that. They made a couple of threats. Oh, yeah, don't come after us. We'll come after you, all that kind of stuff. But we're not doing it. We're not going after Iran for sending their ships. As a matter of fact, Iran is actually increasing its treasury because they're actually exporting more crude oil and natural gas than they have in many, many, many years. And so they're actually putting more money in their treasury that they can use to buy more armaments to send to the Houthis and the Somalis. It's ridiculous.
The reason I called you was that headline that this administration is not going to try to pump back some oil into the strategic oil reserve. What do you know?
Well, you know, they've done a little bit, and that was probably more to settle the savage nerves, you know. But the fact of the matter is they don't want to replenish the SPR because that is a usable source that makes it easy for us to, first of all, prosecute a war, and second of all, be on a war footing. By removing gasoline and diesel, the distilled products, from the mix, they make them dependent upon, go figure, an electric tank that's going to go 1.2 miles per hour and about 6 miles total on a charge and have to wait for 8 hours before it charges up again. It's ridiculous, but it is. And let me just tell you, it is planned, and it is the plan is being executed.
How bad did Joe Biden, his administration, weaken the Strategic Petroleum Reserve? How bad was it?
Well, they took them down about 48%. And then this trickle back of 300,000 barrels a week back into the SPR after they took out 380 million barrels of crude oil from the SPR is basically having no effect.
Wow.
They can evaporate that much in a year. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But they've hurt us substantially. And it's taking us off the ability to protect this. And that should be the number one job of the president.
For political reasons, because this administration, their mindset, Joe Biden and his minions, their mindset, and all the people pulling the strings behind him.
Right.
Because it's weekend at Bernie's. It has been for 3 years, it seems, up in Washington. Somebody pulling the strings, all these greenies. For political reasons, because of their greenie agenda, the price of gas goes too high. They want headlines out there. They're going to tap into the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try to lower prices. It did, like maybe 2 cents for about a couple of weeks, and that was it. But it was for political reasons, not for some national emergency. And yet again, I don't see Republican leadership either from the party, the leader, which is the chairwoman, this incompetent individual, is not taking this very, very sellable, something that she could very easily communicate to the American people. For political reasons, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve went down by almost 50% because of his boneheaded agenda, plowing forward. Doesn't matter what the market says, we're going to plow in this direction. It was not a national emergency, and now they're having to put back at likely a greater expense, try to put something back in there to try to settle some nerve.
Yes, I think you're completely correct, and it begs the question. And it's the probably the most serious question of the day, one that I'm getting on a more regular basis these days, and that is, how far is too far? Have we crossed that line to where we're at the point of no return, or there is no return back to what we had? That is on Americans' minds. That's what's on people's minds as they watch this woke world turn into rainbows and butterflies and Skittles and unicorns.
Well, my car ain't going to run on any of that. Tim Snyder from Matador Economics. Rig count, what's the latest on that? And God bless all the producers, extractors out there working overtime. They've provided us enough supply to try to keep prices as low as possible. What's the latest on the rig count trend?
You're absolutely correct, Sergio. And the issue they're looking at, they published it on Wednesday of last week. It'll come out again on Friday of this week. But we dropped three total rigs and brought the total rig count. That means the number of rigs that are actually going and searching for oil to 620. The crude oil rig count dropped three to 498. Natural gas added one to 120. We lost a miscellaneous rig, and we were unchanged in the offshore rigs at 19. That's substantially down from where we were or where we have been since the beginning of this last year. It tells you that efficiencies have improved dramatically, but it also begs the question how much farther it's going to go, because in a recent interview with the major E&Ps, exploration and production companies here in the United States, they said the permitting process and the cost to go through permitting and leasing and all those kinds of things is crushing them.
Well, all I can say is I wish you prosperity and health in 2024, my friend, and let's see what happens over the next 11 months as we approach the next election day, and hope and pray that Americans don't vote stupidly come November.
Absolutely. And back at you, my friend. My very best to you and yours.
Look for his newsletter, MatadorEconomics.com. Yeah, like Matador. Olé! MatadorEconomics.com. That's Tim Snyder. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas, RGV of Texas. You want to say hi online? You got to do the X thing from Elon Musk, the Twitter thing, at Sergio Talk. This is The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is an epic story. I mean, this is one. I think in the recap of the Florida Man stories for the year, this dude probably should be top three. So check this out. During we were away from the microphone for a couple of days. So Lee County Sheriff's Office, saying that they were, I don't know if they've caught this dude. I need to refresh this to see if they caught him, but it's a dude who went into a Bass Pro Shop. He is seen on video investigating what they call a fishy situation. Quack, quack. So this guy was caught on camera at the Bass Pro Shop, and he grabbed a large fishing net, a large fish net. Lee County Sheriff's Office saying that looking for this guy, grabbed that fishnet from the shelf at the Bass Pro Shop in Fort Myers, Florida. And you know how, if you haven't been to a Bass Pro Shop, you're missing out. It's quite the experience, real pretty. I mean, you can walk off dinner and see some really nice things. They have many of these places have like a big fish tank, huge, huge fish tanks. Like going to an aquarium, but for free, right? So this guy takes that fishnet off the shelf at the Bass Pro Shop, goes to the big tank, and winds up stealing a big fish. Dinner, that's what I think. 50-pound tarpon. He's seen on video walking away. There's pictures of him all over social media. Police shared the video, hoping that the public would help out in catching this guy. Now, my apologies to the gang in Fort Myers. If you caught him already, I'm looking at a Fox story from a couple of days back. But I think he's probably in custody now. This is The Dana Show, reporting to you from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Stick around.
It is a priority. We know that as it relates to the border security specifically, it is a priority for Americans. That's why, let's not forget, on day one of this president's administration, the first legislation that he put forth to Congress was on immigration reform, a comprehensive immigration reform. So it's about 3 years, and we have not seen any action on that. Right. And we want to work with Congress on that. And so right now, there is, as you all have reported, there's this bipartisan, hopefully a bipartisan agreement that we will get to deal with border security, because it's so important. Amen. When Congress comes back, we hope Congress takes action on that. Mm-hmm. But the president is taking this very, very seriously.
Yeah, just platitudes and political speak, and this is what we're all sick of. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, and helping to close out this disastrous year that has been 2023. It would be laughable if it wasn't just so darn tragic and sad and infuriating what's taking place all across the board. Yeah, that's KJP. That's Karine Jean-Pierre, just in the president's taking the issue of immigration very seriously. You know, for Democrats, and I know some of y'all are getting all bent out of shape saying, well, stop attacking the Democrats, stop attacking my party, stop it. You're being a partisan. I am an American before. I would tell you that I vote Republican, and I'm forced to vote Republican. Because ain't nothing left. I used to vote Democrat years ago. I was not as smart. I was a lot younger, very, very wet behind the ears, very green in life. Idealistic, like young news reader, reporter. It was 30 years back. But eventually, experience. And I'm not here to tell you Republicans are perfect. Definitely Democrats aren't. But I've seen the evolution, the devolution, the destruction of once great patriots that we had in the Democrat Party. There's nothing left there. You call yourself an America first, America loving, pro-defense, pro-life, pro-family values, pro-small government individual. Dude, there ain't nothing left for you in the modern Democrat Party. You know, you got Karine Jean-Pierre just leading the clown show, president taking very seriously the issue of immigration. On day one, Ms. KJP, on day one, Joe Biden did a 180. Stop deportations. Why? Why would you stop all deportation for 100 days? Pretty much send the clarion call for people to come on over. And from that day one, or in that fiscal year that he got, by the way, since he took office, the third week of January, which is well into the fiscal year that starts in October, this dude managed to bring in almost 2 million illegal immigrants, not counting the getaways, the gotaways. And then the following year, 2 million. The following year, 2 million. We are on track to exceed 2.5, maybe 3 million this year. By the way, the numbers are stacking. Look, so far, Border Patrol, that's nothing more than just the welcome wagon these days. And God, like, I don't, for you guys just tuning in Border Patrol, you know I love you. And I support you. And go listen to my conversation earlier in this portion, which, by the way, producer Steve will have to get a chance to condense all the audio. Go listen to the first interview I did, hour one, with my friend here at Border Patrol Union, Chris Cabrera. I mean, it is what it is. You guys are the welcome wagon. You guys are being forced by this administration to process, give paperwork, and bring everybody in to the tune of millions. We've had so far processed about 6 million people that crossed the border illegally, that threw their hands up in the air and said, you know, credible fear, whatever other words the cartels told them. The cartels took billions of dollars from them to the tune of millions of people and billions of dollars that they've enriched themselves, these cartels that run Mexico. These people saying credible fear, and they're in line for the asylum process. We got a big old caravan right now headed this way. And you know what they're claiming? They're not claiming to be religious or political asylees or fearing persecution for the political party or their belief or ideology or whatever, because they're Christian. Like, let's say like in Africa, for example. Give you a great case. I had a headline here on the Pope. He was in the headlines saying that on this day he was remembering individuals being Christians were being persecuted. Here is Pope Francis praying for people who are persecuted for the Christian faith or denigrated for living a life marked by their gospel values. I wish the Pope would have taken the time to shine a light on the hellhole that is Africa for Christians, specifically in Nigeria. They have killed hundreds and, through the years, cumulative hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Christians in Nigeria alone. If we had a caravan that somehow worked on several boats, worked its way, wiggled its way to Central America and created a caravan full of buses and other transport on trains, whatever, headed this way, and they were to post signs saying, fleeing religious persecution, don't send us back. America, please save us. Don't send us back to Nigeria. They're going to behead us. They're going to shoot us, burn us, behead all of us because we're Christian. That's the reality. It's been the reality for years. That's religious persecution. If we had Uyghurs come at us, somehow they managed to escape the slave camps in China, these Muslims, and get on boats and come over here and put up signs saying, America, save us. Don't send us back to China. Xi Jinping, he's going to execute all of us. He's going to send us back to slave labor camps. I wish they could bring a list of some of the merchandise they've been producing over the slave labor camps in China. So that way we know what not to buy of the stuff that is made in China. Everything seems to have a label made in China these days. What's produced by, what is in part produced by the slave Uyghurs in China? No one cares about that, right? And it is so sad. Joe Biden has created this mess that we have right now where economic migrants on this day, the big caravans making the news on this day, as economic migrants coming to us from Central America, the largest caravan, I think they've said, to date. How many tens of thousands of people headed this way? And they're proud of it. And their signs saying, fleeing poverty, leaving poverty behind, a.k.a. economic migrants. That does, because they're poor, you know, by American standards, even the poorest among us, so-called poor among us, who have federally subsidized housing, may have a part-time job and keep that part-time job just below the dollar amount or the hours worked in a certain period so that they continue to receive government insurance, Medicaid, for themselves, for their numerous kids, and to have that spare cash in their pocket because they didn't have to buy food because of food stamps, you know, SNAP, supplemental nutrition thing. They got some extra cash. The so-called poor in this nation, but to the tune of millions, are super rich, are the super rich, are the winners in life's lottery compared by African standards, by South America, Central America standards, by Caribbean standards, you name it, by Asian standards. The American poor are super rich compared to all these people. And yes, it sucks to be poor. Yes, it sucks to live in misery. They have given up on their government, these folks in this caravan, the economic migrants, the ones who are leaving poverty behind, they say. They've given up. They've stopped fighting for their country, fighting for liberty, fighting for market freedom, fighting for prosperity. The easy way out is just to create a caravan, come over here, and because of Joe Biden, they know that they can cross the border illegally. They know that they can stay. We have a whole bunch of people accumulating on the Mexican side. Here it is. More than 11,000 migrants are waiting in shelters on the Mexican side of the border. Asylum seekers, as they're called now, hoping to enter the U.S. The legal pathway under Joe Biden is that they've created this app. You can apply through the app for a hearing on the border and enter legally, or just join the rest of the individuals processed by Border Patrol who cross illegally and eventually are given paperwork to go get an asylum hearing. Sometime in the far away future, many years down the road, and you know how it works. People don't show up for that. They got 11,000. Where is it? Is this El Paso or is this a cumulative number? Migrants feel desperate. CBP One app, migration process. Migrant caravan headed to the U.S. has entered southern Mexico and from Central America. Thousands of these migrants from Central and South America entering the Mexican state of Chiapas yesterday, and the large signs being carried by many, exodus from poverty. This is jumping the line. There are two sets of individuals that have been forgotten about completely. Folks, number one, folks who have paid their dues, paid their attorneys, paid the State Department fees for applications, waited their turn for meetings. People who wish to enter the country legally, to migrate legally, to get a green card, to, you know, with family connections or business connections, that's in shambles. Who's hearing those cases? If we have millions of people that are now standing in line for an asylum hearing, to whether they, and chances are they're never going to show up again for that asylum hearing, ever. They're going to stay in this country. They're allowed to cross the border illegally, get a piece of paperwork, promise to show up to some immigration court. They're never going to show up. The American people need to know about this. More than just the Dana Show needs to talk about stuff like this. The national press needs to talk about this. But don't expect them to talk about this at all, because it doesn't work in their favor. Things need to change in 2024. And anybody who makes excuses, advocates for Joe Biden, and be all the representation in Congress, it has a D next to it, you need to stop voting stupidly, people. It's up to you now. And thank you for listening to The Dana Show. And thank you to all of you who make an effort to listen and stay informed. But things need to change in 2024, because if you continue to vote stupidly, continue to vote the same Democrat representatives back to Congress, and same thing at the local level, at the state legislature, things will never change. It's only going to get worse, and it's really, really bad right now. You got Mayor Eric Adams. Despite all the mess that he's going through, he still supports Joe Biden. How dense must you be? Eric Adams dense. It's cut 13, Steve. where he's talking about the numbers coming into the city.
The federal government said to New York City, we're not going to do our job. You do our job. You take care of 4,000 people a week, Eric, you and your team. And so when people look back at this crisis, everyone is looking at us and said, no one did it better than you, New York. We're almost a victim of our success.
That was a cut I shared earlier from Mayor Eric Adams. He's saying that American cities should not be handling national problems. Then why did you and colleagues, Democrats all, why did you guys label New York City, New York State, label New York as a sanctuary state, a sanctuary city? Same thing for San Francisco, California, L.A., Washington, D.C., and so on and so forth. All these Democrat-run administrations and cities and states. You got the mayor up in Chicago. Let me see what cut it is. I think it's cut 7. Don't blame Joe Biden. Oh, it's cut 7. See, let's blame Governor Greg Abbott. Go ahead, Steve.
As much as we recognize that there are challenges, significant challenges at the border, and we do need real substantive immigration reform and policies that allow us to have a structure and a pathway to citizenship. But again, sending buses all over the state of Illinois and all over the country is reckless and, quite frankly, is dangerous.
Did you hear that? Structure and pathway to U.S. citizenship. Who the heck is promoting that all these folks crossing the border illegally have a path and a structure for citizenship? Democrats! Democrats in the big cities of America. Democrats in Congress. That's the mindset. People, be careful. Be very careful how you vote. The second group of people that are not being mentioned these days. Do you remember the word dreamer? Dreamers? Who are the dreamers? For some of the uninitiated, don't know. The dreamers, the ones who 3 decades ago, were brought by their parents, illegal immigrant parents. They were children. They were just newborns. They were little babies, little kids. Back then, they grew up as Americans. They probably don't even speak their parents' language anymore. Most of them from the Latin American countries. The dreamers. Give us a chance to stay. Legalize our state. Give us work permits. So that debate was pretty intense before Joe Biden showed up, pretty much opened up for everybody. Joe Biden has increased by tenfold the future dreamer argument. People that are brought here as children on their own, no fault of their own. He is really gumming the works, messing things up big time. It's 21 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. Reporting to you from South Texas, the studios of KURV Radio in the Rio Grande Valley, Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So much for the campaign donations from so many employed by Apple. Folks associated with such a progressive firm like Apple. Yeah, the Biden administration is allowed a ban on some Apple Watch models in the U.S., allowed it to move forward. The Biden White House could have vetoed International Trade Commission's October decision to ban Apple Watches equipped with technology that monitors blood oxygen level, but there was a red flag that went up. Agency said Apple infringed on patents owned by a couple of U.S. companies, so that's why the Apple store shelves are a little emptier this day. There was no veto from the Biden White House. Huh? How'd that campaign donation work out for you on the left, huh? How'd that work out? Let's see here. Many Americans are not concerned with going to the gym come 2024. Let's see. 39% of respondents, according to a new poll conducted by Stop and Shop, 39% of respondents said that they want to reduce stress in 2024. You know, part of that would be if you lose weight, don't you think? Only 27% said they are going back to the gym. The number one resolution for 2024 is eating healthier. Almost 6 in 10 of people in that poll said they plan to change what's on their plates. I remember the words of an old radio guy, Dr. Dean Adell. You guys that are old codgers in radio remember this. He said portion control. The adage was just eat less, walk more. I'm Sergio Sanchez, reporting to you from the Dana Show Southern Command in the Argivia, Texas. This is the Dana Show.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you tell him not to strike Hamas in a preemptive strike?
I had a long talk with Netanyahu today, and it's a private conversation.
That's a reporter asking Joe Biden if he told the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu not to hit Hezbollah, not to hit in a preemptive strike, not to hit from Lebanon, because after they got hit by Hamas, well, let's take care of the northern portion of it. Well, I can't imagine our country post 9/11. When, I mean, those of y'all who lived through it, old enough to have lived through it, it's amazing to think that we got a lot of young 20-year-olds, 20-year-olds and younger than that, who have, and even, I would say even like 25, 27, 28, because when you're a little kid, you really don't have proper perspective. You need to be a little more mature, like younger teens, maybe a teenager. So we're looking at people between the age of 20 to early 30s, right? Still have no perspective how painful that day was for all of America post 9/11, right? Can you imagine? And that moment that lasted for weeks and months, just replaying in your head, the feeling of sorrow and the tears that every now and then that you cried at, which I did, and just being sick to my stomach thinking of what had just happened. Seeing the celebration by some in the streets of New York, some overseas celebrating all this death, the death of all these Americans, the strike. We got caught with our pants down, our country got caught with, and we were looking angrily anywhere to strike as quickly as possible. And part of that mistake was allowing George W. Bush and his administration to continue plow forward no matter what. Because I remember that feeling of impotence. That's what it was. You can't do anything. Nothing. It was post 9/11. You see the planes, you know, the death, the towers fall, death on and the ground and the Pentagon everywhere. You see what took place on 9/11. And nothing you can do. And the first say, well, and I understood back then. I understood the argument. And of course, Saddam Hussein did not help his argument at all. By being coy and deceptive and hiding and all, you know, the argument of the weapons of mass destruction, he wanted you to think that he had them. And all the multiple violations post Gulf War I, all the stupid things that he did, right? He didn't make an argument in his defense. He wanted to look like the bad guy. He was playing this shadow game of shadows, pretending like he had it. It was, you know, is what it is now. We look back on it and at that time, GW, almost immediately, he started sending troops overseas, started stationing in Saudi Arabia, started taking up positions nearby with the objective to go in there. And bit by bit, he made his argument to go in there and seeking, like his daddy did, to some coalition to go in there. And, you know, only a few countries, Australia, England, a few other countries followed suit and provided some troops on the ground, Poland, some other. And it wasn't like the coalition back in the early days of Daddy Bush administration. Looking at it in hindsight, perhaps we could have done things differently, but it is what it is. It's part of history now. But, oh my goodness, just looking at Joe Biden telling Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to back off. You got struck by Hamas. You got thousands of your countrymen dead, innocents, left and right killed, some beheaded, some burned beyond recognition. All innocents, pretty much all of them. Yes, a lot of soldiers got killed, but it was a lot of innocent people, a lot of families, a lot of babies. This was your 9/11. And the U.S. and Joe Biden meddling in the defense, any and all defense actions by Israel. Israel is intensifying their military operations in the Gaza Strip. That's what the headlines we have right now. The military chief for Israel, he says that the war against Hamas is going to last for many months. Well, at least he provides a somewhat of a timeline, don't you think? I hear something in different in the Israeli description than what I hear from the Ukrainian explanation. The chief, military chief in Israel, said to reporters that there's no shortcut. Their goal is to dismantle Hamas as a terrorist organization, and it's going to take many months to come. I hear just a little whisper, maybe a tinge of a description, a strategy to end the war. At what point, when they, the Israeli Defense Force, is satisfied with having dismantled, killed as many of the Hamas leadership as they can, as possible. In other words, what I hear is a strategy to finish. Granted, the land that they're working on is a lot smaller than Ukraine, but the war in Ukraine is only limited to certain sectors of the country, closer to Mother Russia. I hear an end game. I hear a strategy to win. I hear an objective to finish the war in Israel. I don't hear that from Ukraine. And yet they're both put on the same pedestal by some of these lawmakers and individuals that want to send, without any accountability, they want to send billions upon billions and billions of your grandkids' money. You know, it's all deficit spending. Want to send it overseas to Ukraine. No money for Ukraine right now. I did see a very interesting headline on how the Ukrainians blew up. And I would call it, if it wasn't so deadly and destructive, isn't it? They took out a couple of ships, a couple of Russian ships. One of them was like a transport ship that carried tanks and military hardware. And I would refer to that explosion it's all over social media. I would refer to it as beautiful. It's a massive blast. That thing was taken out by a missile. Ukrainians firing a missile. They didn't describe what type of missile, but it looked like a cruise missile. Took out that big ship that carries transports, military hardware for the Russians into Crimea. It was a massive blast. The Russians said that only one person was killed. I'm going, really? So they only leave like one Russian sailor per big ship to like babysit the ship? Is that what happens? I don't see how anybody could survive that massive blast of that ship. So kudos to the Ukrainians for taking out, you know, their enemy. Take care of business. They're going to have to hurry up and take care of business quick. We better start hearing from Ukraine what the strategy is. And I do believe that there could be a strategy to put their heads together with NATO, put their heads together with Washington, whoever's providing, they're providing military planes for Ukraine to prison. Put your heads together. Figure out what is it going to take? How many soldiers? What type of missiles? What type of planes? What type of hardware? What do you need to cut off supplies? What do you need to trap all these Russian soldiers? What do you need to put on the border? What do you need to win? That's what Americans want to hear. That's what I want to hear. And I think that most Americans and lawmakers up in D.C. right now, they're just tired of writing blank checks to Ukraine. What's your strategy to win? That's what they need to start talking about in Ukraine in order to get more funding. They're probably going to wind up getting early next year anyway. All right, 2024 around the corner. Got a little something I want to share with some of y'all who are managers, business owners. I know some of y'all are having trouble finding the right people, keeping the right people. The help wanted sign is still out there. Well, just a little bit of advice from a business coach on how to hire smarter in 2024. Folks at Gallup recently released a study looking at what women and men really want when it comes to their jobs. So this study from Gallup showed the results of two online polls. Now, it's a pretty good size pool, 18,000 respondents, each over the age of 18 who are working part-time, full-time in the country, found that one-third of women reported being burned out in 2023. At least 69%, almost 7 in 10 women said work-life balance, personal well-being was the top reason for taking their new job. I guess they wanted more flexibility, less work to do. 58% of men said the same thing. And there's other statistics maybe we can share right now. Kathleen Caldwell, CEO from Caldwell Consulting, my guest. Let me ask you about this term that's in business, lazy girl jobs. What is that, Kathleen?
Oh, yes. Well, it's a TikTok phenomenon where women are gathering together and saying, hey, we're going to create jobs and look for jobs and be employed in jobs where we can do the minimum that's mm-hmm. required and draw a very, very solid line between work and home and have a work-life balance that really doesn't cause us to do any more work that's necessary. And I think really, Sergio, this is just about women wanting more freedom, more autonomy, more power, and more choice in their careers. And I mean, the term is, it's an interesting conversation. The term is not so great because I don't think anyone wants to be designated as a lazy girl. I like the term more freedom girl, you know, freedom and power girl.
All right. Well, give me an example of some of these gigs then that you can do the bare minimum and still get away. I'm thinking it's like service sector jobs, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where, you know, and with the pandemic, Sergio, we were able to essentially work remotely and, you know, put that line between being in the office and also being at home, working at home. So there was a greater demarcation, but with now return to office that's happening, it's a little harder to do that. So service-oriented jobs, with the rise of AI and with the rise of digital jobs, customer service jobs, things where women can essentially be out of the office and maybe check in with the office in person, maybe once a week or once every couple days, something like that, and be less visible and have more autonomy.
No, I understand. Everybody wants that. But look, at the same time, like speaking as a manager, and I know that a lot of managers are tuning into talk radio right now, or owners. Well, that's not the type of employee that I want, that I'm looking for. I want to find someone with a strong work ethic, someone who's going to be responsible, someone who's going to appreciate the fact that they belong to a team that is generating revenue, generating them and everybody else a paycheck, and protect the product, whether it be service or something tangible. That's who I want. I think something needs to be baked into the selection process, the interview process, to find the right work ethic. I mean, what would you be looking for? Because I don't think you'd want a lazy girl or lazy guy working for you. Right.
Yeah. And Sergio, I completely agree with you. And I think that there's a certain segment of the population. I mean, I appreciate this conversation. And at the same time, what this whole lazy girl phenomenon is really focused on is me, myself, and I, as opposed to just what you're saying, is work, companies, organizations, we have to put the customer at the center of what we're doing and our teams. And I think that the lazy girl phenomenon, you know, it's raising issues. It's going to be filtering out very, very soon, I'm very sure, because the focus on the triple win. I win, you win, the team wins, and also, most importantly, the customer, the client. Who are we doing all this for? What's the value proposition here? And so that's the missing link here with this lazy girl conversation, is there's really nothing in there about, hey, what about coworkers? What about colleagues? What about we're growing together? We're doing work that matters. And what are our conditions of satisfaction, Sergio? What are we doing as a team to make the world a better place? Because business does that, for sure.
You said some key words.
I'm with you, friend. You know, I'm with you.
Work that matters. I think all work matters if you take that attitude. Because in the end, again, I go back to the fact that all of our pages, whether it's a burger joint or it's a salon, or it's a small manufacturer with producing lug nuts or whatever, doodads for, you know, some type of supplier business, whatever it is, we're all part of a team that is trying to push forward and protect the product and protect the revenue for everybody who has a family and insurance to pay for and bills to pay. That's the attitude. This mentality that I see online, which, by the way, as an employer and as a manager, that's the first thing I'd be checking, is their online footprint, their online, the social accounts, to see what attitude, because sometimes these idiots, you know, that's what they are. They at work, they will take video of them goofing around or insulting or diminishing the quality of the service, the product. This attitude that, oh, well, that's not my job. You can find them usually if they go fish around in their social sites. And I would imagine that would help you in your hiring process. Look at their social sites.
Absolutely. And during the interview process is how aligned is this employee, this potential employee, how aligned are they with the mission and the vision and the values of the company? If their sole purpose is to be able to check in and check out and ask about what are the benefits, what are the perks, what are the things I'm getting, I would say that's the end of the interview, right?
Yeah.
So many great people are looking for great companies and great causes. And let's put our focus on those people, Sergio, I think, as opposed to the folks that are trying to create the me-centered focus. And we know that that will not go well for anyone. So we're focusing in on we're focusing on us, and we all can win here. Yeah. That's what I like to focus on.
Thankfully, most of these individuals that are just seeking a paycheck and just clock in, clock out, they're not very sophisticated to begin with, or they're not very clever when it comes to hiding their intentions. Well, it's a pleasure speaking with you, Kathleen. Where do folks find you online?
Oh, Sergio, thank you. I am all over LinkedIn. I'm all over social. I'm not a tight TikTok.
It's okay. They're Communist Party owned anyway, Kathleen. Right. I don't have a TikTok either. Communist Party owned TikTok. No. I'm not going there. So, what other Kathleen?
LinkedIn. Yeah.
Just look for Kathleen Caldwell, and they'll find you online, right?
Yes. Caldwell Consulting Group. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Love the time with you.
Have a great holiday, friend. Good to talk to you. Hoping for better things, more prosperous times in 2024. I know, for business, times might be tough. The cost of money and of borrowing is pretty expensive, right? It'll probably be that way next year as well. Hiring issues, that's a big-time problem. You got to do like what Chick-fil-A does. They're geniuses. They find the best people out there. You got to perfect your hiring process. Do better in 2024. And then hopefully we'll clear the storm. Americans will stop voting stupidly, stop voting Democrat in 2024, send all these clowns home, and move us in toward an America first mindset for everything, for everything. Thank you for tuning into The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, reporting to you from her Southern Command in the RGV of Texas.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Thank you so much for tuning in. And look for Dana online, the podcast version, the condensed version of all this audio, all the different podcast platforms. Hey, I want to share this with you real quick before we share the stupid audio of the day here in just a second. The price tag, and kudos to the San Francisco Standard doing some gumshoe real journalism. Price tag for Joe Biden's lavish party in San Francisco at the Exploratorium during the APEC summit. Remember how the mayor and the governor in California, Governor Goodhear, Gavin Newsom, they cleaned up the streets, cleaned up all the poop, all the needles from San Francisco. It was lemony fresh there for a while. The San Francisco Standard reporting the $8 million gala was paid for by a special nonprofit created for the summit, for the APEC summit. They took money from, Graton Casino, Salesforce, and oh, look at that, Apple. As I mentioned, Apple before. Yeah, so much for a campaign donation, Apple. Look at Joe Biden didn't have your back when it came to that software fight with a couple of other patent holders. All right, Steve-O, let's do the stupid audio of the day.
Oh, we have Colorado Governor Jared Polis. Polis? Uh-huh. I think that's how you say it. I don't know.
Okay.
He wanted to wish a message to a certain group of voters here, so let's see what he said here.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y feliz.
Pandering, da-da-da-da. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.